And all right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I'm going to read just one verse for a text. That's verse 11. Verse number 11. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You may be seated. May the good Lord add his blessings to the reading of the scripture. We'll read that one more time. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Just by the way of introduction tonight, in this verse of scripture, the Bible tells us that Satan, that the devil, it's very self-explanatory. I'll probably not preach to you nothing you've not already heard. It's a real simple thought tonight. But in this verse of Scripture, he's saying that Satan, more or less the devil, wants to get an advantage on us. That's simple, isn't it? In other words, he's saying, more or less, he has a plan to do so. He wants to get an advantage on us. First of all, if you're lost, he don't care about getting an advantage on you because you're already his. What he wants is he wants you that are born again, you that are Christian people, saved, blood bought, names written in heaven. He wants to get an advantage on you. He plans to do so. I often wonder sometimes, why are we so surprised when we do the same thing we repented of again? And then, we'll come to this altar and we'll repent. And then when we do it again, we act like it surprises us that we've done it again.
Amen. Great.
Why does that surprise us? Why are we surprised when we find ourselves doing it over again and over again? First of all, friend, we need to be careful. Listen, I believe God can forgive sin. Thank God. God can forgive. Sometimes we call them mistakes and they're still sin. Sometimes we call them, Brother Rex has pointed that out many times. Sometimes we call them shortcomings, but they're still sin. But why are we so surprised when we do the same thing we repented of? We find ourselves doing it over and doing it over and doing it over again. We need to realize the areas the devil tries to get an advantage on us. We need to realize those areas. Now, the areas that the devil tries to get an advantage on me ain't the same areas. They may be in some cases, but hey, everybody's different tonight. Everybody's temptations are not the same tonight. And we need to realize those areas that the devil tries to get us and tries to tempt us in. We need to realize that and remember them so we won't be caught off guard by the devil. Can I get a witness there?
Amen.
He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know he's coming again. How many believe Jesus is a coming? I believe, amen, the writer here was saying, I know he's a coming. I'm not ignorant of his devices. You know, many times, Rex, as I read that verse of scripture, many times I've ever read it, went over it. For we are not ignorant of his devices. The writer was saying, hey, I know he's out to get me and I am not ignorant. He didn't say I'm ignorant. He said I'm not ignorant.
Amen.
If you're a born again Christian, amen, listen, we know the devil is out to get us. We know he's out to destroy, to kill, to steal, and destroy.
Amen.
I might got those mixed up. But anyway, what are you saying? I'm saying we shouldn't be surprised. Amen. We know he's going to try his best to do that. And we are not ignorant. I don't know about you, but I know his devices. Huh? I don't know. God just showed me that. Amen. Through things today. Amen. We are not ignorant. So we know, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So we know the devices that the devil uses to come into us and tries to tempt us and tries to sway us. Does he not come after you? Does he not come after your weak spots? If I was to go through this congregation and I'd ask every one of you, Marty, do you have a weak spot? I guarantee you everybody would have to say, yes, I have a weak area. I have a weak spot in my spiritual life. In this flesh, there's a place there that the enemy knows. That the enemy, amen, is aware of, and he's going to try his best, amen, to take and have an advantage and get an advantage on you. He comes after our weak spots time and time again, over and over again, and he seems like, amen, he just don't give up. Why does he not give up? Now listen, I've told you this before. I can't tell you what a beer tastes like. I'm not ashamed of that. Matter of fact, I'm thankful for that in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Amen. Alcohol is not a temptation to me. Now I can say right now that, hey, I cannot stand up here and tell you that the devil has never tempted me with alcohol. Cause you know why? He has. But for the devil to keep coming to me after and over and over and time again about alcohol, he knows that I'm settled in my mind, I'm settled in my heart, that I'm not going to do that. So why does he continually keep coming to you, and you have to come to the altar and repent, and you get up off the altar and you go home? And why does he continually and over have to come to you with the same thing you repented over? You know why he does that? Because you'll have to go back to the altar and repent of that again. But why are we so surprised? I said we need to realize those areas. The writer here says, I know he's a coming, and I'm not ignorant of his devices. Not ignorant of the ways. I know how he tempts me. I know how he tries to get me to fall. And he comes over and over again. But how are we surprised? How is it that we're caught off guard? If I come and repent over something tonight, and the devil comes to me over the thing I repented of to tempt me over again, I should already be aware. I should already be aware. How many's ever heard those saying, you learn by your mistakes? Well, a lot of people don't never learn by their mistakes. It's evident because they'll keep doing that over and over and over and over. Can I get a witness there?
Amen.
But how is it we're surprised? We get caught off guard. The devil knows my weak spots. He knows your weak spots. And I just figure he's coming back after me. Hey, he knows where I fell. He knows where my weaknesses are. He knows where I stand spiritually. Amen. But listen, and by the way, you better not let your guard down, is all I can say. It takes everything in me to keep Jeff Duncan where he needs to be. It takes everything in me just to keep me straight. If I was held accountable for everybody in here, and I am to a sense that I preach you the Word of God, but individually me and Rex, I'm not responsible for Rex's, amen, life. Rex is responsible for his spirituality.
Amen.
in his salvation. Now listen to me. The devil, listen, we don't need to forget that he's going to continue to try to come back after us to get an advantage of us. God wants us to be prepared as much as we can for the devil's attacks. He teaches us about the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 teaches us how that we need to be fully clothed. How that we need to be fully armored. Why should we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of faith? Why should we have all of those in the sword of the Spirit? Why should we have them be fully armored? Because we don't need the devil to get Satan to get an advantage of us. But we too often, amen, we allow the devil to take that advantage. What God wants us to be is prepared as much as we can for the devil's attack on us. We might not know when he's coming all the time. Listen to him. We might not know when the attacks are coming. We might not know exactly the timing. Amen. But I believe we know the issues that he comes after. Robert's got weaknesses. I have weaknesses. Keith's got weaknesses. Amen. Chris. Amen. Tony. Amen. Robbie. Everybody in here has weaknesses. And we should be aware and we should be reminded of those weaknesses that we have. Now, the devil wants me to quit. That's the reason he tries to get an advantage of us. He wants Kathy to quit. He wants these young couples to quit. You know what the devil's job is? Get an advantage on us.
Amen.
But there's no excuse because we're not ignorant. If we're God's child, we're not ignorant of his devices. But sometimes we act surprised when we fall into them. Amen. Listen to me. Hey, you are or we should be aware of the areas the devil's coming after you. We need to keep an eye on the areas the enemy, amen, has, amen, in your life that you know that you're aware of. Listen, I don't want my ministry destroyed.
Amen.
You as a Christian, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a man of God, amen, as a carrier of the gospel, amen, that he's entrusted me to carry the word of God. I don't want that ministry destroyed. You as a Christian shouldn't want your ministry destroyed. I don't want my trust in God's leadership destroyed. I don't want my courage destroyed. I don't want my attitude destroyed. I don't want my commitment, my desire for the Lord destroyed. That's the reason I need to keep aware of the areas that the devil tries to come in and take those areas. Tempts me. What are the areas, preacher, that the devil tries to take a shot at us. Tries to take a shot at you and try to destroy me and tries to destroy you. Who's ever been in a convenience store or a gas place? Did you buy gas and you've seen posted? Amen. You'll see, I've been places. Amen. Especially out there, what's he called? CJ's. You'll go in and there's a list of checks. Anybody ever notice that? And what are those checks? Those checks, amen, they're posted. There are people that have wrote a bad check to that business. And they took that bad check and they posted that. And that's to remind them. And it's to remind other people that you're not supposed to take another check from that person. Why else would they post it? Why else would they take that return, amen, bad check and put it up there for everybody to see? Amen. And glory to God. And it's there for the world. Everybody stops in. It's to remind them, you don't take a check from that person because they could write you a bad check. All God's people say it. Some of us need to maybe make a list. How many's ever used this thing right here? A post-it note. How many uses these? Raise your hand. Amen. Ever who created these, ever who came up with these and put a little bit of sticky stuff on one end of it is a millionaire. Amen. And when they take that bad check and they post it up there, it's to tell them this person wrote a bad check. It's a reminder. Do you hear what I'm getting at? Some of us, amen, needs to take a post-it note or a list and put the devil's name at the top of it. Amen. And under that list, list the ways that he tries to destroy you. You need to go down there and make your own list, maybe. Amen. Maybe I do. And just try to make a list, put the devil's name and say, hey, here's some ways. Now, I don't have the same weakness as you do. But sometimes, amen, we might can take a post-it note and post it and put it down and say, hey, I woke up this morning and I'll get to it in just a minute. Listen to me. How many remember the story about Peter? Amen. Jesus said, you remember when Jesus told Peter, said, Peter, Satan hath desired, the devil has desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. You remember that? You remember how Jesus told him that one day? He told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Amen. Before the cock crows. Can I get an amen? Did I get that right? What are you saying, preacher? Amen. And then you know the story. Amen. He denies the Lord. He warms himself by the devil's fire. Hey, what if Peter would have said, I got to remember what the Lord had told me. And he writes down, deny. How do you spell deny? I thought that was how you spell deny. What if Peter would have said, hey, Jesus had already warned him. Jesus has already told him, before, you'll deny me thrice. What was Peter's answer? Lord, I ain't going to deny you. I'll go with you, Lord. Amen. Even under devil. So what if Peter, amen, would have wrote down the word deny?
Amen.
And posted it somewhere, amen. I don't know. But every morning, it was a warning from the Lord.
Yes.
Can I get an amen? It's a warning from God. And when God warns us, we better take heed. We better take heed to the warning. Amen. What if Peter would have got up and said, I gotta be careful not to deny. Did I spell it right? I gotta be careful not to deny the Lord.
Amen.
What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say some of us maybe needs to make us a list and put the devil's name and whatever weakness you have. Put it under there and every once in a while look at it. All God's people said.
Amen.
Some of us have. What are some areas? I am not going to get into all of my weaknesses because it ain't none of your business.
That's right. Amen.
All of your weaknesses ain't my business. But some people think, amen, that somebody's been talking to the preacher every once in a while.
Amen.
I don't know, there may be somebody in here that's got a problem with your temper. Sometimes that can hinder us. Can I get an amen? Sometimes, amen, that can... Sometimes the devil uses that temper to try to get us away from the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't know why God's letting me do this, but maybe we need somebody in here tonight needs to write down temper. Would anybody be willing to admit that you have a problem with your temper? If you're willing to admit it, just raise your hand.
Amen.
Okay. Maybe God knows what He's doing tonight. Maybe we need to make that, maybe we need to take a post-it note and write down temper. Maybe you need to put it in your pocketbook.
That's right.
No, I didn't make, you volunteered to raise your hand. All God's people said. Amen. Some of you else did, but I'm saying that here. Hey, that might be humorous, but hey, maybe we could be reminded when we got up in the morning. Hey, that rage, that anger that builds up inside of us. Anybody fussed at somebody in front of you coming to church tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Road rage. That's under the heading of temper. Can I get a witness?
That's right. Amen.
How many times we've been riding down the road and all of a sudden, Get out of my way. I'm in a hurry. I ain't got no temper, preacher. When you pull out here to the red light tonight, and you let the car in front of you, if there's a car in front of you, when that light turns green, that car sits there, let's see if you've got a temper.
That's right.
Let's see how long you'll sit there, and that light green, and that car stopped before you blow your horn. If we're not careful, the devil comes to us through our temper to try to get an advantage on us. How many times have I had a bad attitude and that ain't nothing but a... How many times have I had a bad attitude and that ain't nothing but a temper? Or I had road rage and that ain't nothing but my temper. And I had going home, Free Will Baptist Church. Amen. A t-shirt on. Amen. It says going home. How many times somebody's cut you off in Walmart with their buggy? About hit you. There's some rudest people I've ever seen in my life. I about hit somebody with a buggy and I'll say, excuse me, I'm sorry. And it's like, you get out of my way. Won't acknowledge me, won't do nothing, and I'll say, thank you very much, you're welcome. Now that, you know what that is? That's buggy rage! It's called, don't get me tickled, amen, it's called temper! Sometimes the devil tries to get an advantage on us. Hey, how does the devil get an advantage on us? Through our temper, preacher. How does he do that? Because your car has been seen out there in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're done tied. You're done marked. You've been seen that going home, Free Will Baptist Church. The people that's walked up to me in a store and said, hey, preacher, how you doing today, preacher? And I didn't have no idea who these people are. But whether you know it or not, there's people. There's places you go in McDowell County, there's people that know you go here. You don't know how they know it, but you're tagged. Some part of us need to, I hope you ain't guilty of denying. I hope you're not guilty, amen, of the temper. Some of y'all admitted it, though. All God's people said.
Amen.
I'm trying to say, lest Satan should get an advantage. We're not ignorant of his devices. So, if you got a temper problem, sister, if you got a temper problem, sister, you know what we need to do? We need to remind ourselves every day. Temper. Temper. Some of us, amen, might need to write down, hey, pride. Some people have a prideful. Uh-oh. Pride. Anybody quote that scripture? Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before what? A fall. Pride. I can't write good. I spelled it right. Amen. Pride. You wouldn't be to believe the people that are in the house of God that has a pride problem and the devil uses that to get an advantage on them.
Amen.
I'm not going to ask you who has a pride problem. But you would be surprised. The people in this congregation that has a problem with pride.
Amen.
Everybody in this room has had a problem with pride.
Amen.
Sometime.
Yes, that's right.
Some area of your life. And if we're not careful, amen, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Preachers have to be careful. We don't have a big church. I prayed, Lord, I want the Lord that if He sees me getting a big head,
amen.
If He sees a spirit of pride to start dwelling up in this preacher's heart, I want God to knock the props out from under me. Preacher, you don't know what you're saying. I know exactly what I'm saying. Because I've seen preachers that has pride. If you're not careful and the church is doing well, the preacher will get prideful. You got some churches that think they're the only churches that are going to heaven. You got some preachers that think they're the only preachers that can preach. And those type of preachers, amen, that are doing well and that's got great numbers, amen, and everything's going, I mean, man, God's blessed their ministry. If you ain't careful, they'll dwell up a spirit of pride in them. And they'll think, it's what I've done. There's a lot of preachers that's got eye trouble. Pride. If we could take these post-it notes and we could write these things down, that I'm talking about, what are some things that maybe hinder you in the Lord's work? Sometimes our this one's going to surprise you. Sometimes this right here tries to cause you. The devil tries to use this to get you to quit. Family. There's a lot of people shaking their heads in this congregation. The devil uses family sometimes to try to get you to give up. Tries to get you to quit. Might be because that you don't stand. You don't believe the way they believe. You don't stand the way they stand. Let me tell you something, friend. As long as we're in the Word of God and we believe the basics, and that's the death, the birth, the death, and the resurrection, that's all that matters. We believe the simple facts. Some of us have problems with our family, and the devil uses your family, amen, to try to get you to quit. I think of Teresa, and I think of Brendan, I think of these that's got spouses, amen, and that don't go to church, I hope I didn't leave no one out, but listen, you just keep on, you need to pray for these that comes to church by themselves. Because they've got opposition on the other end that it's hard even for them to get to the house of God sometimes. But sometimes our family can be the cruelest. Now, I know this is simple. I know you say, preacher, this ain't doing nothing for me. Amen. Sometimes the devil uses finances. Sometimes the devil uses finances. Amen. To try to deter us and to keep us and to quit. You wouldn't believe. I don't believe anybody's rich in here tonight. You are, it ain't reflecting in the offerings. Now say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you've come into any money, you ain't give your tenth yet. Hallelujah. Sometimes finances are the Torah. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, ain't no Satan, nobody in here tonight that's, you got to have money to live. But sometimes if you're not careful, that little old thing called finances, that little old thing called money, will detray. The devil will use that to try to deter you. It used to be that the Sabbath day was holy. It ain't no more. Well, a man's got to provide for his family. And the Bible says if a man does not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. But where our problem is where we've let the workplace, years ago, the Christian has let down their stand. And we have let them dictate to us when we work. I need help. It got quiet right there. Amen. Sin in general. The devil uses sin to try to tempt us to quit, to give up. Now that is a broad aspect right there, isn't it? I started to do a message one time, and Brother Richard Robinson, how many remember Brother Richard? Taught Sunday school here. I started to do a sermon one time, but he beat me to it in the Sunday school lesson. Amen. You remember when they took and everybody wrote down a sin? Amen. On a piece of card, on a card. Amen. And how he illustrated on the cross how that Jesus took that sin and he took every individual card. And hey, now listen, nobody had to sign it, but you can just take and write down what sin. Hey, I don't know. Hey, I've done that one time with a youth group here at Going Home Church years and years ago. Had them to write down what sin they had committed, or I can't remember how I phrased it, but you would not believe. They did not have to sign it. All they had to do is turn it into the preacher. And you would not believe the answers. Amen. That I got. Preacher, but did you know who they were? Hey, it wasn't me to know. Don't care to know.
That's right.
I could give you all a post-it note in here tonight. You could write down a sin in your life that they ain't nobody in this building knows about. And if you could see skeletons in my closet, and they were marked, and they were named, God's forgive me for that. But some of you would be surprised. But guess what? The same with you.
Amen.
You ain't no holier than anybody else. If they were skeletons in your closet, which they are, it's called past. But thank God, God's forgiven me for that past.
Yes,
He's forgiven me of that sin. That temptation. There's many temptations we could mark on this. I could go through the congregation tonight. There's no way I would do that. And I could ask Robert, what? How does the devil try to get you to fall? Mm-hmm. Helen, how does the devil try to get you to fall? Paul? Kelly? I wonder what answers. Gary?
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friend. You would be surprised of what the temptations. But he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, because we are not ignorant of his devices. And then I'm just trying to tell you tonight, if we'll just be aware of those areas that's in your life, whatever that weakness is, whatever that temptation is that the devil keeps coming over and over and over and over and over, trying to take an advantage of you, trying to ruin your testimony. If we can remind ourselves that that's a weakness every day and be on guard every day. Get up of a morning and say, Lord, help me with that sin, that temptation. Lord, help me with that my family. Lord, help me with that pride. Lord, help me with that temper. He's got the point. You know what it would do? It'll help remind us that we're not ignorant
of his devices. I want us to stand on our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As Angie plays on the piano or sings, whatever the Lord lays on her heart. I wonder tonight who has God spoke to. I'm coming. I'm going to say, God, help me. The ways the devil tries to get us to quit. We need to come and say, God, help. Help me. Not to let the enemy get an advantage on us. Help me, Lord. Because I don't want to be ignorant of your devices. The altar's open. There's people on the altar tonight.
Is there something in your heart?
Listen to the
between you and the Lord. Are you drifting apart? Not as close anymore. There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross. Let it die so you can live. Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your pain and every stain in the mercy blood. Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross. Is there a burden you bear that's got you battered and bound? Are you struggling for strength? Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step. Just kneel where you stand. Lay it at the cross and take the hammer in your hand. Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy blood.